Good morning. Welcome back to the God School. We're studying the Book of Romans. The series is called A Christian's Journey as Seen in Romans. Before we get started this morning, I need to go back because this teaching is open to everyone. And time to time, we have new listeners. I had a conversation this past week with somebody who was at the very first gathering of the God School, and I said, do you remember when we started? My very first words, and not my words are really not that important. However, what they expressed, I believe, is of utmost importance. My very first words were, this gathering is not designed that you might have a better life in this world, but to bring you into eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that event takes place when faith is being generated. And as, you know, we taught out of Romans 10 a couple of weeks ago, and last week, this most wonderful phrase in Romans, verse in Romans 10:17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or even better translated, hearing about Christ. Hearing about Jesus Christ. Of whom it is said that no man has seen God, but Christ, the Greek word is a cognate of our word exegesis, but Christ has put him on display. That is, in Jesus Christ, God is removed from behind the curtain and put on display. And by him and through him and in him is eternal life to everyone who is faithing. Believing just doesn't get it. It's more than just an ascent to the mind. It is a hanging of the body in a trusting relationship with the promises of God, that they are more real than anything that we might encounter, because anything we encounter I have to hesitate here because I may have overstepped the limits. Let me back up. God's word declares that in the beginning there was nothing, and that God spoke and everything was. Hebrews 11:3. God's word is more substantial. Than anything we may encounter. And so at the God School, we attempt to teach God's word, wherein God, folks, God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, God, our Savior, are put on display. That faith might come. Those who have followed for some time here know that I don't put great confidence in personal testimony, but I want to digress just for a few minutes this morning, because the 14th verse of Romans 10 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? As a young man, by the grace of God, I started to pursue my faith a little deeper. And, you know, I was... had been attending church and receiving the sacraments and going to religious school, and I was 25 or 26 years old. I don't remember which year. And for the first time, I got a Bible in my hand. And, you know, I started to read it. And I have to tell you, my response was, oh, no. I got no chance, because every place I went, when a description in Scripture was given of the sinner it was describing me. And I have to tell you, my reaction to the word at that point in my life was negative, very negative. I wanted to put it aside, but a time came when God gifted me a preacher. I had the word. I didn't have a preacher. And I will always be eternally grateful to God, because in His workings, He not only made available His word, but a preacher, a teacher of His word, that combined with His teaching and God's gift of the Holy Spirit, understanding began to come to this sinner, and faith was produced. That's the reason the God School exists. That, as Corinthians says, through the foolishness of preaching, that, how does Paul put it exactly? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that faith. So, if you haven't been here before, hopefully through these words, a little understanding has come. If, as I know many of you have been here before, just a reminder. Now, last week, we introduced the concept which Paul tells us about in the 18th verse of the 10th chapter, of God having written His gospel in the stars. There are multiplied references in Scripture to this fact. I offered you a book, The Glory of the Stars by E. Raymond Capt. The offer is still available. If you hear this today, and it's a long time from the date posted that you're hearing this, I'll still respond. The gift of the book is still available. Let's go on. The 19th verse. Well, let's read the 18th verse. Let's start with the 17th verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing about Christ, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Folks, they didn't have satellite communication. They didn't have internet. They didn't have telegraph. They didn't have shortwave radio. Paul's talking about some other communication device, and the device he's talking about are the stars which surround us. Get the book for more of the message. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. You don't find God by seeking God. God found you. And that is an exercise that he continues to do to those he has called, to those, well, let's just, we'll understand it a little bit more as we get into it. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people, unto a people who wouldn't hear, is the best translation of this word disobedient. Folks, in these 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters of Romans, Paul is making manifest what God has done and is doing and will continue to do. And in these chapters, he's talking about his election. Jesus said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. If you're listening, and if the message is being received, I want you to know this is an action of God in your life. Not because of what you have done. Not my words, but God's. What does he say in the book of Titus, the 3rd chapter, 3rd verse says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. I could stop there, but I'm going to go on. By the washing of regeneration, this talks about the born again experience. This talks about now we as Christians become dual in nature. One, this carnal man in the flesh, the other, born of the Spirit of God. Washing of regeneration, new birth. Something other than this flesh. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being, proper translation, righteousified by his grace, unmerited favor, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're talking about what God is doing. Paul opens what is presented as the 11th chapter. I'll remind you, this was a letter. There's no chapter. There's no verse. When you get to heaven, if you walk up to Paul and say, Paul, what did you mean by, Romans 8:28? And Paul won't know what you're talking about. He will, but as it was presented, this was a letter, no chapter, no verse. Paul is giving his magnus opus to Christians, that the understanding, that their understanding might be open as to what God has done and is doing today and will do forever. So, for reference purposes, chapter 11, verse 1 says, I say then, has God cast away his people? King James says, God forbid. That's not what the Greek says. It says, never may it be. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, and they've digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what says the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. If you want to go read that story further, it's found in the 19th chapter of First Kings. Paul goes on to say, even so at this present time, there also at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I want to stop at this moment and explain these words from the original. A remnant according to the election of grace. The word in the Greek is elogen. Its root comes from eloge, ekloge, it's a combination of two words, ek, out from, and to, loge, lego, speaking to a conclusion. Properly, selection out of and to a given outcome. I'll read you this note. In the Strong's Concordance, eloge, divine selection, occurs 7 times in the Greek New Testament. The cognate verb, so eloge is a noun, the cognate verb is eklegomai, and it means to select, to choose out. And it occurs 22 times and is always in the Greek middle voice. Middle voice, to those whom you have not heard, gives us a reason behind an activity, and when it's in the middle voice, the activity is for the actor's own benefit. We encounter this word in a slightly different form, though it's the same word, in Ephesians 1:4, which is exalexitos, exolegotos, translating God, according God, according as he has chosen us in him. Speaking of God, that before the foundations of the world, what it's telling us there is a long time ago, God chose, and he chose by speaking, and he chose out by speaking a people for himself in Christ. A according to the election, God's activity, what he did, what he is doing for himself by grace, by unmerited favor. We encounter this same word in the ninth chapter. Paul is trying to hammer something home. I'm trying to hammer something home. God is trying to hammer something home that your confidence may be in him and not in yourself. Surely the confidence he has put in you, that confidence being his Holy Spirit, that confidence being the Spirit of Christ in you, but God is doing this. As it says in the 11th verse, for being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. We're going to encounter that word. In a little bit. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. To the extent you deserve it, it's not grace. It's grace, unmerited favor from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how every epistle of Paul opens. In my study, this last part of the sixth verse, but if it be of works, then it is no more of grace, otherwise work is no more works. It says that's not found in the original. So somewhere along the line, somebody added that. I'll be honest with you, I struggled over that part of verse 6, and I don't want you to struggle over it. I'm not struggling over it anymore. I just want to move on. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it. And the rest were hardened. Why didn't Israel obtain it? Go to the third verse of the 10th chapter. For they, speaking of Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Man, that's what the church has been trying to do for 2,000 years. Have you established your own righteousness rather than preaching the good news of Jesus Christ? It is by God's calling and by God's grace. And God's gift. We are saved. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted, have not listened, have not heard themselves They have not heard unto the righteousness of God. We started, we didn't necessarily start, but in the midst of all this teaching, we have put the focus on God, and we, being the privileged recipient of God's favor, of God's calling, of God's election, I want you, you're going to need to read some of this yourself, because we're going somewhere and I don't have time to go verse by verse here. Let's go down to the 11th verse. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Never may it be. Salvation has come, for through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentile. For to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the King James says diminishing, it's, and the better translation is failure or shortcoming of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle, the sent one to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation, the King James says, them which are my flesh. He's talking about Israel, and might save some of them. I want to see if I can bring this together, because what Paul is going to say in these next several verses let God speak. I'm going to go to him. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And Paul's going to go talk about they were the natural through the seed of Abraham, through Isaac, through Israel. They were the recipients, the natural recipients of the promises of God. And much to the lack of understanding of the church as to who Israel is, with regards the faith at this moment, they might be removed, but with regard to being the natural recipient of the promises, God has never stopped. Go back and listen to the second greatest story ever told. Go back and listen to the teaching of the lost tribes. We're not going there today. What shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also. And if the root holy, so are the branches. This all started with God. And Christ is called the first fruits of the resurrection. That's where the holiness starts. That's where it's complete in Christ Jesus. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bear record not of the root, but the root thee. Your boast is to be in God, not of ourselves. Paul uses the Hebrew rhetoric here, where he brings like a third person in talking. He says, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I may be grafted in? Yes. Well," Paul says, "because of apistis they were broken off, and you stand by pistis, because of unbelief. And you stand by faith." It should be because of non-faith they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. This goodness, this kindness of God toward us, this grace, is continued as we continue to operate in faith. That's not the faith you expressed November 3rd, 2010. It's the faith today. Hebrews says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't be disobedient. Don't turn off hearing the word of God. Don't turn off running to the Savior. stay obedient, stay listening. Stay hearing the Word of God. And they also, if they abide not, listen to this, if they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Faith its greatest challenge. It's always required. It's encouragement is it can always begin again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into the olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural be grafted into their own olive tree? Folks, God's time is not necessarily our time, and our time is not necessarily God's time. Paul is not condemning Israel here. Paul is saying there's a time coming. Well, just here. For I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of the mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. You know, if you don't understand who these people are, in the natural, there, and there's plenty of them in the church that do this, you might be tempted to judge those who have not received the Word of God by faith yet. But God's not finished. God is not finished. Paul says, and so all Israel shall be saved. And as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness. The word is asabia, that is lack of awareness of God from Jacob. It's just an alternative name for Israel. I like Paul's use of transferring the name Israel to Jacob, because Jacob went about doing things his own way. When God changed his name to Israel, it was a testimony that he was a prince who had power with God. And as Paul, or not Paul, but David in the 84th Psalm says, oh, the God of Jacob, that gives me hope. It should give all you hope who are looking at yourselves and saying, I'm not performing that. Well, Paul handled that in the seventh chapter. We've handled it in the seventh chapter. We're looking unto God. And so all Israel shall be saved, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Go read Jeremiah 31:31. Now, Paul gets into it. He says, as concerning the gospel, there are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, same word, they are beloved for the Father's sake, for the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. How do you say that, Don? Read the next verse. For the gifts, King James says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I don't like the translation. I don't think it's a good one. The for the gifts, the charisma, the unmerited favor of God, and calling. The word is klesis, klesis. And I'll just share this with you. Is always used in the New Testament of that calling, the origin, the nature, and destiny of which are heavenly. The idea of invitation being implied. It is used especially of God's invitation to man to accept the benefits of salvation. It is used 6, 7. 10, 14, you know, 18 or 20 times this word calling, klesis. Paul is constantly putting on display what God is doing. Now it says, for the gifts, King James, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. We have taught in times past on that word. I don't have time today to talk about it. This word is Malitos. In the Greek, remember, when you put an A in front of something, it reverses it. So we have a combination word, ah, meaning not, and meta malomai, which means regret properly, no change, of concern, without regret or remorse for an action, because it was done from deep conviction. I've tried to dig into this word, and this is the best way I could put it. I want to encourage all of you, for the grace and the calling of God is irrevocable. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, Israel's, so even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all, has shut, one alternative says, has shut them all up together. In unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. I just want to read Paul's doxology, that is, giving glory to God, as he closes out this section, speaking of God's election of grace, as he closes out God's calling and gifts, which are irrevocable. He says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed again unto him? For of him and through him, let me read this right, for of God and through God and to God are all things, to God be the glory forever. Amen. No doubt. Be ye thankful for God's gift and calling, and stay in faith as we continue in this wonderful relationship with our Father in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever. No doubt. And that's the God School for today.